Good morning. My name is Danny Cruz, and I have the honor and privilege of being our first speaker this morning. So we each have 30 minutes to do our sermon. I'm just teasing. You will be able to eat, we promise. We're keeping it concise. But this morning, like that song said, we're going to be preaching about through it all, it is well. So I have a question. Have you ever had a feeling that God put something on your heart, just an unshakable passion or desire, possibly a dream for you, and you did not act on it? You said no, or maybe you said yes, and God told you to wait. I want to share a story with you about a time in my life where God put something on my heart and I said no. And then, when I decided to say yes, he said, it's time to wait. So I was called to go into ministry. I know that because one night I had a dream about it. But before I share that story, I have to tell you about another dream I had first, where it all started. One night, my sophomore year in college, I had this amazing dream in vivid detail. I was in the ministry at, you guessed it, the University of Arkansas. Go Razorbacks. So, now being born in Boston, and then eventually moving to Lawrenceville, Georgia, and then to Athens, Georgia, you can see where this just seems completely out of place. And if you think it's weird, it's because it was. Remember, that was the first thing I remember waking up and saying, Arkansas? But in this dream, I was in the ministry serving with the campus. And I loved it. So I was studying the Bible with people. I was leading Bible talks, and I got to baptize somebody in my dream, and it felt like amazing, like amazingly real. I'm like, this is amazing. But also, the one thing that stuck out was there was an African American brother who was leading the campus ministry at the time. He was just fired up, and he just wanted to teach me everything. So I was learning so much from him. So when I woke up that morning, I just felt like it wasn't a coincidence. Just felt too real. I felt like it was from God. Now, I lost my place. So after that, I was like, okay, this is interesting. What is God? What's he doing here in my life? I went to a conference, all right? And in this conference, there was this breakout session. And in this breakout session, they had all these different booths from all these different universities from across the United States offering, or not offering, but recruiting people to come and join in the ministry. And lo and behold, University of Arkansas, led by this African-American brother who's just fired up for God. And me being the zealot that I am, said, nope, I'm not doing this. I just couldn't. I said no. I just felt really weird. It's like, God, what are you doing? And so I said no to God's vision for me, though. And I couldn't do it. And here's why. I felt too scared. I was too afraid to leave the comfort of my home and too afraid to leave my friends and family. And I allowed that to stop me from going where I felt like God was leading me. And so I made a promise after that, that when I felt like God was putting something on my heart, whether it be a dream or this unshakable passion or desire, that I would do it, that I would act on it and follow him. Well, you know, careful what you pray for, because a year and a half later, that dream came true. So I had this other dream. And in the second dream, I was talking to the teen leader in the church in Athens. And I was telling him about my desire to go into the full-time ministry. And we discussed it in great detail, and he was very excited. So when I awoke the next morning, I contacted the campus minister in Athens, and I said, hey, I got to tell you this amazing story, this dream that I just had. He said, okay. So we met. I told him. He acknowledged it and said, okay. And then just completely blew me off. Just completely blew me off. And so I felt like, you know, maybe just wasn't the right time. Maybe God was saying no. Maybe it was the Lord getting back at me for not answering the call the first time. I don't know. God's got a funny sense of humor. But have you ever given up on a dream that you felt like God put on your heart? You feel like he keeps closing doors. And whatever lesson he's trying to teach you is just too discouraging or frustrating to keep chasing after. So you change course. You do something else. But here's the thing, guys. Brothers and sisters, we must endure and persevere that test of faith that God has for us. And that is why through it all, I can say it as well, because I did not give up on that test of faith. So during this time of not knowing where God was leading me and what his vision was for me, because I had said no before, I began devoting a lot more time to my Bible. I began fasting. I began praying bold prayers, specifically, is ministry where you want me to be, God? And dedicating a lot more time to my personal Bible study. Instead of being frustrated and discouraged about God, you know, what he was doing in my life, I decided, and not being frustrated at him for, I feel like, not, for placing this dream on my heart and not leading me to a place where I felt resolved, I began just being proactive in my faith. And so in Psalm 27, chapter 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." I knew I only needed to be patient and know that God was in control, helping me through it all. 4 months went by, and I finally got the call in Athens saying that they wanted me to become the teen minister. And so I was very excited, but the position was part-time. And so it worked out with my school schedule, but at the same time, I just felt like that wasn't the full answer. You guys ever feel that way? You're like, thanks, God, but... So during my 3 years of serving in the ministry, I experienced a lot. I experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I loved every minute of it. I loved it. It was amazing. I'm so thankful for how God blessed that time. But there's a time where it came for Katie and I to graduate. And so once we did, we were told by the church there that they weren't going to offer us full-time positions in the ministry. And here I go again. I'm like, God, again? Again? Come on. You're saying no again? And here's the reality of it is this. Just because God says no, or tells us to wait, it's not him punishing us. It's not him, you know, being vain or spiteful. It's just because he's got a bigger plan for you and I than we realize. So meaning that we're not always going to get the answers all the time. So how many of you guys like taking exams? You like taking exams? By show of hands, who likes taking exams? That's weird, okay? You're not supposed to like taking exams. So I'm just saying that's not right. I'm just joking. But imagine that you're taking a test and you're preparing for it as best you can. You have all the study resources, okay? All the materials that you need to succeed in taking this exam. And you take this exam and you have some things figured out. But these questions are just far more advanced than you prepared for. So you kind of understand a little bit of it, but then the more you read it, you're like, this is just too hard. It's too difficult. That's the life of being a disciple. We have this resource, the Bible, right? We have it, and it doesn't give us all the answers. But that's where faith comes in, because God has a plan that is just too advanced for us to understand. So here's where my faith was tested. I knew I wanted to go into ministry and not into the corporate field. And, you know, I spent 5.5 years at UNG to get that degree, and here I am not using it. But my faith was being tested through it all, because I had many conversations with my peers or fellow millennials. And every single one of them was just, not every single one of them, but the majority of them were just super discouraging. So one of the things, you know, my faith is getting tested, but it was just more fuel to the fire in a way. This is what some of my peers would say. This is what they said. No names, though, right? We don't do that. Ministry will always be there. Or you're thinking ministry? You sure you're not settling and giving up on a job that will pay you a whole lot more? And, you know, people out of college who go into ministry don't usually do well in the long run, because they're so, like, hurt when they have to get out of ministry that it's not worth it. That's what they said. It's like, okay, so clearly you want me to go to one direction, but God wants me to go in another. And so, although those were some valid points, and my peers, you know, they were trying to help me, I often felt misunderstood, because I felt called to serve God in this way. And we all serve in different ways, and that is where God wanted me to serve. And that's where he was leading me, and God finally made it clear. And he said yes and opened that door for me. We unexpectedly met Jim at an event at Northview, and he approached us asking if Katie and I wanted to go in full-time ministry. And we said no, no. The rest is history. We said yes. We're like, absolutely. Are you kidding me? So Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16 says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them your food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." God satisfied my desire to go into ministry, satisfied Katie's desire to go into ministry as well. And I am so excited that God opened that door for us to serve in the full-time ministry, but it hasn't been easy. Living your dream, doing what you're passionate about, isn't easy because life happens. Life hits you. And we all know when life hits you, no matter how much you're serving God, it's hard. It's draining. And so Stephen Goodman is going to come up and talk about where God is when we hurt.
Danny and I are a little different.
All right, there are times in our lives where nothing seems to make sense. We're confronted with situations that are above our understanding, and our problem-solving minds are unable to solve them. Times where things happen completely out of our control, and we have to live with those things. Oh, geez, this is not good. 2 years ago, I took a teaching job in South Fulton. So I was in ministry, and this email came out of nowhere. I ended up getting an interview, and the interview went really well, and really felt like, okay, this is what the next step is. So I prayed about it and got an email saying, we had to offer the job to somebody else. It's unfortunate that we met two people like this, but we're going to offer it to this person. So I started praying, okay, if this is meant to be, the other person will turn it down. And then actually at a teen event at our apartment, I get a phone call. Like, hey, I don't know what happened, but we still have a job available if you want it. And I was like, okay, like, probably the most specific prayer I'd ever prayed, and God answered it. So I took that job at a school that was rough. So I left ministry to get into a teaching job in a whole new area, different everything for me. And I started that job on August 1st of 2016, and then August 3rd turned out to be the beginning of the most difficult chapter of my life when a car accident took someone. Very dear. For the 3.5 years before this, I was ingrained here in the fabric, being in ministry, and had a lot of relationships that even if I wanted to get away from them, they wouldn't have let me go. And now I was living in the city. I was living with guys that I didn't know, working a job that I hated, all while neglecting her. I was alone. I was desperate. I woke up every morning, and the only thing I looked forward to was going back to sleep, because it was the thing that allowed me to escape where I was and what I was feeling. And during this time, I began to ask myself this question of what happens when we hurt. And it's a question that the world struggles with, not just the religious world, but the world in general. Like, what happens when we hurt? Why do we hurt? Why do I hurt this way and you hurt that way? Why am I angry and you're at peace? Why am I crying and you're quietly sitting there? Why is it hurting more than it's hurting you? We ask a lot of questions like this. People dedicate careers to trying to figure this out. Government invests billions of dollars, medical companies all trying to answer this question of what happens and how do we help somebody when they hurt. And through all these times, we don't like it. We want to forget it. We want to move on. We want to not be in that place. And as I struggle with this question, I came up with a very simple answer, and it's that God allows us to hurt. A simple truth, but one that I'm very quick to forget. It's easy to remember what God says about suffering when things are going well. It's much more difficult when you're suffering. But there are scriptures like Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In Psalm 147:3, that says, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Suffering is a piece of life, especially life with Jesus, and God gives us these scriptures, essentially promising that at some point we will be in these places. Living life on earth means pain, but filtering our pain through Jesus is what God wants us to do. It's in these times of pain where we truly grow. We do, however, suffer in different ways. Sometimes we do nothing wrong and something happens in our lives, and that something instantaneously changes everything forever. This is what August 3rd was to me and to many of us when we lost Olivia. Other times, we are the ones who do something that brings the suffering to our lives. In anger, we say something we shouldn't say. In laziness, we lose our jobs. In bitterness, we drive away our families. In fear and selfishness, we ruin relationships. And these are the situations in which we bring suffering on ourselves. And we see this countless times in the Bible, from David's string of mistakes to Peter's string of denials. We make conscious decisions and invite this pain into our lives. In all these moments of hurt, God uses our pain to draw us closer. He turns these painful seasons into teachable moments, but we have to be receptive to the lessons. Hebrews 12 tells us to endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Regardless of how we may come to our point of hurting, we all get in these situations where God disciplines us. And as I reached this point in my life, I was confronted with another major question I was going to have to answer. When everything inside of me was screaming to be selfish and suffer this pain alone, was I going to be receptive to the discipline I was called to endure? This became the major battle in this stage of my life. For the first time, my selfishness was truly exposed. There was a day in September that year where the numbness of the accident had started to wear off and I began to feel frustrated. Specifically, I felt frustrated with Brittany, who's my wife now. At the time, I had completely withdrawn into myself and we had broken up. I didn't see it at the time because I felt like it was her who had abandoned me in my greatest time of need. Little did I know, it was me who had abandoned her. I called Mike and Gina Cellino and asked if I could come over so that we could talk. They were our go-to couple. They did our premarital counseling. We owe a large amount of success to them. I came over with the full intention of expressing my frustrations with Brittany's behavior towards me and expecting them to agree with me, but they had a different plan. They let me say my piece, and then they hit me with the truth. They told me about how wrong I was, about how selfish I was, about how everything that I felt was actually the other way. And that Brittany had no other option but to get away from me because she had to protect herself and to protect the potential for our long-term relationship. So for a couple hours, I sat there listening about all these bad things about me and realizing that if these things didn't change, I would never be able to have a successful relationship and especially a successful romantic relationship that would hopefully lead to a successful marriage. I spent the next several months asking my closest friends to help me expose this sin, all while trying to repair this relationship with her. And God was helping me through this season of life, especially using the relationships that had taken years or even decades to build. As I look back at this time of my life, these challenges all started in this season of grief, and were jump-started on that September night at the Cellino's house. I vividly remember Mike saying that night would be a watershed moment for me. That one day I would either look back and be grateful that I changed, or I would look back and regret the fact that I hadn't. We cannot survive these seasons of grief alone. God never intended it to be that way, but it was me alone who had to fully endure it. And we have to endure times like these because the world needs real-life Christians. The world needs Christians that have endured the storms, wading through the impossible challenges they bring, only to come out stronger on the other side. Not the watered-down Christianity of comfort and acceptance that doesn't tell the truth about what life can truly throw at us. Unfortunately, as the body of Christ, we can miss this. When we see others enduring these seasons, we often back down because it's uncomfortable for us. We make excuses. I've never had cancer, so I can't relate. I've never lost a loved one. I can't help them. I've never been unemployed. I can't provide any support. My kids never acted that way. I can't help them. They're stubborn with the way they parent anyways. You can probably think of a lot of examples because we all do this, and we all like to shut these moments out because it hurts, and we have to remember that. We cannot afford to do it. God wants us to embrace these times. He wants us to learn from these things because that's what life's all about, gaining that eternal perspective and then sharing it with other people. When tragedy happens, and it will happen, all we can do is wait for God. Listen to what God is using others to tell us and learn how to become more like Jesus through those experiences. If we can do these three things, all while maintaining total faith in Jesus, God uses these impossible times to do impossible things, because we are refined the most when we walk through fire. These trials produce the most valuable currency we can obtain in life, tested faith. God's promise is that through the fire, he will walk with us and protect us. The question is whether or not we will keep walking. When you're faced with hurt and tragedy, and when you're in that fire and all it feels like you can do is sit and burn, take one step at a time and God will do the rest. And as we take these experiences and learn from them, growing to be more like Jesus, always be listening, because God may be calling you to go and share your experiences with others and spread the news that through it all, it is well.
All right. This is on? Okay. What's that on? All right, well, I want to start with a question today, and I want you to take a second to really think about it. When was the last time you had a dream or felt called to do something and actually did it? Maybe you felt the Holy Spirit calling you or some sign from God telling you to do something. And no, I'm not talking about when you thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it was really last night's pizza. That doesn't count. Honestly, think about it. When was the last time you were called to do something by God and went through with it? Well, today I want to talk about my journey of being called by God to live out a dream and how my wife and I are about to live out that dream in 25 days. So there wasn't one particular day or moment that I felt called by God. I felt like it was a series of events and prayers and conversations and special moments where I felt called by God to leave my comfort, to move to another country and serve. And one of these moments actually came from a song that I listened to about a year and a half ago. The song is by a band called Need to Breathe, and the song is called Happiness. And I'm actually about to sing it right now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to sing it. That'd be bad. This song lyric goes like this. I've got dreams that keep me up in the dead of night, telling me I wasn't made for the simple life. And ever since I heard that song, I was like, yes, that's exactly how I felt. Because I literally had this dream since I'm in the teens that has kept me up some nights, not every night, about moving to another country and serving. And literally I know that my wife was actually had the same dream, you know, when she was in the teens as well. Even though we didn't start at the same time, we started the same foundation, which was prayer. And speaking of prayer, the YoPros, a couple weeks ago, we had a devotional about prayer, and it was awesome. We talked about our personal prayer lives, and how important it is to have dreams and to be praying for them, not just our own dreams, but everybody's dreams. And all this stemmed from when Haley and I were cleaning out our house as we're about to move, and we found this. I'll hold it up. This is a prayer wall, and these actually prayers are from the YoPro, but it was filled with prayers from Haley, Ashlyn, Melina, and Brittany when they lived together 3 years ago. And it was amazing just reading through them because they were just impossible prayers and goals they had, and we're going through them, and it's all God, because most of those prayers were answered, or the process of being answered, and there was like 25 of them. It was amazing, and there's actually one prayer that I want to mention from Haley that she had. It's right here. This was on the board 3 years ago. To move to another country and serve God. In parentheses, I don't want to just live life out the American dream. And on top of that, as we're moving and we're finding things, we found this as well. This is one of our prayer journals. If you can see the date, top right, it's December 11th, 2013, about 4.5 years ago, where it says, to spend a year in another country and help the people there and work with kids. And that's what we're about to do. And it's amazing. It just reminds me of a scripture in Proverbs 13:12. And this is New Living Translation. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. This is a dream fulfilled that God has called us to do. And it's amazing when God calls you to do something and you give it to him and you pray about it faithfully, dreams happen. And we can't wait to experience this tree of life that God has for us in 25 days. And I wish I could say the decision was easy or happened overnight, but I mentioned earlier we've been praying about it for quite a while before we were married. And actually before we were married, we talked about not having that American dream that she had on her prayer. You know, the American dream of the two, you know, corporate ladder jobs, you know, with the nice cars, you know, two each. You know, the big house and the perfect yard with the blonde lab and the 2.5 kids, whatever that means. And we knew that's not what we wanted. We didn't feel called for that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But our personal lives, we didn't feel called to live that life. You know, we were both lucky enough to grow up going on mission trips all across the world. And we got to see the churches and people in those countries and how much we've been given. And we were just called, we got to go. We got to do that one day. And honestly, we didn't know where to go. We've been all over again, so we started praying. When we got married, we prayed about South Africa. We prayed about Central America. We prayed about places in the United States. And I remember coming home one day, and Haley's like, what about Bolivia? And I was like, keep going. you just can't just stop there. And she just started telling me about Hope Worldwide and what the Broyles were doing down there to help the people of La Paz. And it was incredible. So we started praying. We were like, let's put on Haley's heart. Let's pray about it. And next thing you know, we're having coffee with the Royals. We're talking to Linehan's. And the next thing you know, we're actually in Bolivia chaperoning the teens last summer. And the trip was amazing. And I can go on and on about the trip, but I won't. But I remember coming back to the airport. We're driving up this huge hill to El Alto to leave. And I was just crying. And I was in the front of the car. No one saw me. But I was crying, you know. I didn't want anybody to see me crying. And I was praying as I was crying. God, I need to come back here. I want to come back here, and this is what I feel called to do. And that was amazing, but it was very short-lived. I get back to the United States. I go back to work, get back to my routine. Totally forgot about Bolivia. And I kept making excuses. God kept calling me during this time, but I kept saying, nah, God, I'm not good enough. It's not the right time. I don't speak the language. Pick somebody else. And on top of that, I got really, really selfish. I started going after that American dream that I didn't want. I started looking for jobs where I get higher responsibility, higher title, and more importantly, more money so I can look better than the person next to me. And it's all selfish, all about me. And I totally forgot about God was calling me. And it's funny, as we're going through these moments, God speaks to you. And I was like reading through Romans at the time, and it's really funny because we're actually reading this scripture with the teens that are about to go to La Paz here in a couple weeks. And it's Romans 12:2. And this is New Living Translation. Well, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I mean, that just hit me right there when I read that. And then actually, a couple months ago, I found this quote from this German pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And it really spoke to me about who I was at the time. If you don't know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor who was known for his loyal resistance to Nazi dictatorship, trying to spread the word of Christ. And this is his quote. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. God was calling me, but I wasn't dying. I wasn't dying to myself. I was living for my sinful nature and the things I wanted to make me look better. My priorities were way off. I was trying to copy the behaviors of the world where it told me not to do in Romans 2 or 12. And it was all about me and not about God and his plan for me. So I want to ask you today, What are your priorities today? God's calling. You know, my priority, God, was way down the list. Think about it. What are your priorities today? And I think so many times when God calls us, we can make excuses or we can get selfish or distracted and not listen to the calls that God has for us. And I'm not asking everybody to move to another country to leave their lives here. We're called every day to do something. You know, whether it is to share that faith with a person at work or the gym or at school, or maybe it is to invite somebody to a Bible talk or to a family group, or maybe even just to go out of your way to love or serve someone. We're all called to. You know what I'm talking about. You're at the grocery store. You're talking to that person. You have a great conversation. You're all right, bye, you know, or whatever it is. You know when you're called. So what is holding you back? I really want to challenge people this week to think about what is holding you back from listening and acting on God's calls, because he is calling us. Because if you answer God's call through it all, it is well. Thank you, guys. Amen.